Gail.
Hello everyone, good day. Hope everyone is high. My name is Øystein and this is the Cannabis Maker Podcast. I'm the founder of Nordic Herbzone and I'm here with my partner.
Hi, my name is Liam and we are doing the Cannabis Maker Podcast, where we will be taking you through everything in the cannabis industry, from starting in a cannabis business, getting the right advice, where to go. We'll be joined by cannabis industry professionals who will be sharing their experiences. They will be given the lowdown on the challenges they have faced throughout this industry, whether it be from hemp, industrial, CBD, cannabis in the medical space, as a doctor, as a brand, as a seller, or just as a consumer or even a medical patient. We will be covering it all. And welcome to the Cannabis Maker Podcast. On today's episode of the Cannabis Maker, we are joined by David from the UK, Christian from Sweden, Ankit from India, Dr. Barry Gordon from Florida, Sam from the UK, Dawn from the United States, Sherry from the UK, and Sarah from the United States. Thank you so much for coming in today, everybody.
How's it going today, sir?
Yeah, good. Beautiful. So, sun's come out, the rain's gone, and it's nice. It's nice and warm over here.
We started a little bit this morning, just trying to give it a little go on a little podcast episode. We've heard so much from so many people in the cannabis industry, in the cannabis space, who are, you know, they've started up with new ideas. They are having amazing ways to bring people together and network. And we're seeing so much happen in such a short space of time. And we're really thinking of setting up something. And good morning, Mr. Q. Welcome in as well, sir. Setting up so that we can, start to really help out and branch out to people in this cannabis industry to help them with their ideas, help them formulate their thoughts. Maybe they're having problems with a payment provider. Maybe they're having problems getting their website sorted. Maybe they don't know where to really advertise or market their products if it's CBD or cannabis. And perhaps they're even just getting into the space and they really want to grow cannabis. But we've seen so many people right now who are saying, you know, I've been in this industry for up to 10 years, I've never touched the plant, and this is what I'm doing. So it's been really, really interesting way to get all these thoughts, and we thought we'd start sharing and start getting people to tell their stories, ask some questions, and see what's going on in the space. We'll take a little introduction of you, David, what you're doing in the cannabis space,
Thank you, guys. I'm Dave, living in the UK currently, running a company called WECANN, WECANN. Primarily set up to help the CBD space and help educate consumers. But over the last year or so, we've ended up expanding and becoming a sort of a go-to for marketing, advertising, web development. I've never really truly been exposed to the web as much as it's about to be. We've obviously had to operate in other areas, and we obviously all have the same problem with our adverts and our bands and all these other things. So, you know, I've got a lot to sort of bring to the table in regards to discussions around the future of the internet and how that plays a role in the cannabis space. You know, the good side of it, the bad side of it, the do's and the don'ts. That's me. I'm Dave, and I'm done speaking. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, nice one. Thank you, Dave. I think it's really it's good to hear about this in the UK, because I've having spent some time in the UK and then left the country and never really come back to it to pay attention. It's been really refreshing, especially to hear through Clubhouse how many things are actually going on in the UK, and how many people are in places actually making stuff happen. So I just kind of wanted to ask as well, and maybe see in terms of brands in the UK at this point, where are you seeing some of the biggest struggles?
Visibility. You've heard about the needle in the haystack. Well, we've just got so many brands over here, and a lot of them talking on the CBD oil side. We have a lot of the similar products with a different label, and I appreciate there are only so many sort of ways you can make these products, but there's just a lot of confusion, I think. You've got to imagine, as a consumer, you hear about these products, you go onto the internet and you're like, wow, where do I start? Where do I begin to, you know, there's too many different narratives, and not enough transparency and not enough content coming from from experienced people that are actually using this plant. You know, we all use this. We've all used it for many different things. We have an appreciation and some, you know, kind of a respect for it. So, you know, another thing that we're trying to help the smaller guys do is to stand out when, you know, the money comes in. You know, we've already been asked to carry out SEO work for companies that I kind of don't, I don't value the product. I don't feel that they're bringing a story to the table or anything other than, you know, buying their way into the industry. So one of the challenges that the smaller business has, the smaller family business, is how to get the brand out there when a big US firm comes in with several million dollars and can just advertise the hell out of everything and get in every single corner of the market. And so that's one of the problems. I think one of the other problems is, again, awareness of, you know, a deep understanding of the plant. You know, I when I entered this space, I thought I had a very good understanding of it. And I've realized now, after even just a couple of months speaking to other people and certainly taking inspiration and speaking to people from around the world where this plant's had more freedom. Yeah, you know, I was got to admit, a little bit naive, I think, in some areas, trying to become, you know, an innovation or an innovative company that can sort of, you know, almost lead and advise. But I think, you know, anyone that's sort of trying to do that at the moment, you know, we're all still learning. As much as we've all got a fantastic knowledge, I think, and this is me personally, I've stopped trying to be a teacher now, and I'm sat behind a desk being a student. Not saying that I'm not going to show others what I've learned, but to, you know, when you look at Europe and Canada and America and compared to the UK, you know, they are leading the way. So we've got to sort of interpret that in the right way and see what models we can adopt, what we can, you know, borrow and what we can readapt and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a couple of challenges there. I could go on and on and on. There's challenges around payment gateways and banks. I could go on and on.
I think that's a good way to go. And I think we'll just move it on straight away. And I'll ask Christian as well. And here we're going to differentiate between Mr. Q and Christian. Mr. Q, who is also called Christian. But Christian, you know, I see as well from your profile that you're saying you're an entrepreneur and businessman. I love that. And can you tell us a bit about what you've got going on and where your interests are in the cannabis space and who you are?
All right. Yeah. The thing is that I just recently got into the cannabis industry with starting up a CBD brand. But going back in time, I've been working with consulting for companies. What I did for myself was I started a company in Spain. I've been in the gambling industry for a while, working with casinos, lottery, and so. And it's a dirty to express myself right. Dirty industry. Thank you. I have a partner as well, and we've been. He loves to smoke weed, and he had some problem with skin problems, and a few years back he started using CBD, and I was using CBD for recovery or training, etc. And just a couple of days passed and he saw his skin condition actually got better, and that's where the idea was born a few years back that we should get into this industry. It's actually helping people compared to the other things we're doing. And well, just a few weeks or months ago we got a company going, just waiting for our products to arrive, and then we're all good to go. So we just started trying to get into the industry, I'm trying to like be in this group as much as possible, just to listen, to educate myself. There's so much things you can read on the internet, but like in these groups, I just feel that there's people with experience and I learn more from that. So just trying to soak as much information as possible.
No, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Christian. It's really interesting to hear as well from the background and the industry that you've been in. And making the move into cannabis, I think is great because we've, you know, a lot of people I see in the cannabis industry, it's a very touchy subject when people from other industries come in and start doing stuff in the cannabis space. And then there's people in the cannabis space that are like, oh, we've been here for 40 years. You can't just come in and fuck shit up. But I have to, you know, I always take a point of honesty as well. And I say, I always have to applaud and also commend these people because these are also the people that have waited in the business sense and terms until it's the most feasible to, you know, go through. So I think we should be absolutely welcoming of all people in the cannabis industry and space and where they're coming in. And I absolutely love the fact that, yeah, you're working on the CBD brand and yeah, I'd love to find out more about it and hear as it goes on as well. So thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you. Just to be honest as well, like 5 years ago, I had no idea what CBD was. 5 years ago, I hadn't even like touched cannabis at all. So it's been going very quick here. But the whole idea for us is start with CBD oil and then we're going to try. That's why I'm trying to soak as much information as possible. We're going to try to get into medical cannabis. But right now I'm just a little bit confused trying to figure out how does that even work. So if you guys know any of the procedures or how to even start, I would love to hear it.
Let's absolutely have a chat about that one, sir, as well, Christian. And I can see where the struggles and where this comes from in the space. And what we see with a lot of even ourselves in this industry, that even if we've been smoking cannabis for years, a lot of people have been led astray with the quality of their product. A lot of people haven't been smoking what they actually think they have been smoking or consuming. And it still is very difficult nowadays to find the trusted supplier, the trusted manufacturer, somebody whose quality of products you can actually stand by, and then also how to really go about and build this relationship. It's very much on that long-term relationship, operational kind of way in which you just work in close collaboration and just putting each other's best interests at heart is something that has really gone far in the cannabis space. And I think we'll take this opportunity as well to bring it on to Ankit and take a second for Ankit to introduce himself, tell us what's going on. And yeah, Christian, let's absolutely get in touch and we can help you out with all of those things on the side. And we can take a little phone call discussion too, sir.
Following you, man. Great.
Hey guys, thanks Liam, thanks for the stage, and it's good listening to everyone here right now. My name is Ankit. I just changed my name to Anki. I found a way to do that. So yeah, it's easier to call me Anki. People love calling me that. So I'm India's youngest hemp entrepreneur, and I love what Liam has been talking and doing since these some days that we have been connecting. It's just great. This guy has amazing energy. No, I'm not smoking right now. I wish I was, but it's illegal here. in the beginning, what I said. So we're working with, I love to innovate with hemp. And the reason why I am trying to innovate more and more things with hemp is because we talked about this before. The education is the most main part of getting cannabis out there to people. And how do you educate? You have some products or some tools so that people could interact with them, just like little kids in kindergarten. You give them abacus or you give them shapes and they put it here and there, they understand what it is. So kind of like that. I made 100% hemp biodiesel, the first person to do in the state. I'm still thinking of patenting that technology. Recently, I really want to bring this out there. So there is a cannabis Mexico summit going on, and it's a 4-day summit going on with the cannabis industry going in Mexico, and it's going to be booming big, definitely what I have been listening from everyone there. So I'll get back on that first. And right now I was developing hemp biodiesel and everything, We're working with Hempcrete. We have a startup company here, a very small team of young minds working on that. Right now, the revenue model of the company is selling fabrics. So we are working on pushing sustainable fashion first.
Awesome.
And thank you. And we have developed 100% pure hemp face mask. I just got my prototype arrived 2 weeks ago. We also have hemp paper bags and a lot of hemp products that I work with a couple of partners that are also moving towards the cannabis industry. So I've built a great supply chain in India, from raw materials to almost finished products, papers, anything, it's possible. The ultimate goal that I'm working on with hemp is making bioplastic possible. So after I'm done working with the hemp batteries, I hope if I get investments in future, because we really need that. Once we have that, the ultimate goal of the company is to get to making bioplastic. So but right now we're doing clothing as the main revenue model for the company, where we're going to ship towards food soon with the seeds, oil, and the protein powder. And after I'm done getting the right prototype for Hempcrete, I'll have that out as well. So the three basic necessities of human: food, clothing, and shelter. It's very possible by hemp, and we're making to get that into reality. So that's all me. Thank you so much. And yeah, if anybody wants to know about the Cannabis Mexico Summit, let me know.
Anki, I commend you, sir, for everything you're doing. Fantastic business model you've got there. I love the areas of what you're applying hemp to as well, man. So I think we can all collectively help one another. It's fantastic what you're doing. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. And I'd love to have a chat with you as well.
Let the people know, where can they find you? What's the name of what you're doing? And let us know where we can hit you up, sir.
The usernames for my company, which is Herbino Innovative Agro Private Limited. And then the brand, the fashion brand that we have is Canaxo. Canaxo, that we call. So Canaxo by Herbino is also there. So you can see my brands over there. But if you want to hit me up for the link, anybody, let me know and I'll share that link right away. I'll help anyone with cannabis.
I'm just going to take a quick second and welcome in Dr. Barry. And take a quick second, Dr. Barry, to tell us about yourself. A good morning, sir, and what you got going on.
Yeah, thanks, Liam. Listen, I just waking up here in Florida, very interesting cannabis state, of course, real active medical program that's under assault by the 2-month-only legislators, guys. So I don't have to worry about this all year. I'm a medical cannabis provider in Florida after 33 years doing emergency medicine. I have one of the largest, most active practices here in Florida, well over 4,000, 5,000 patients. I lost count. And just enjoying every day, man. I got a gorgeous morning, great sunshine. Let me see what I got this morning. I'm going to get into some Straw Nana from a dispensary called The Flowery here in Florida with a 25.9 THC, 0.5 CBD percent.
So it's going to
be a great morning.
I'll tell you
what are the terps like on that? Do they give you a terpene percentage in Florida? I'm just curious.
They do. They do. Some of the dispensaries are more prominent with their labeling. On this one that I have in front of me, I don't necessarily have the terpenes. But listen, I love the question because people always ask me, what is the importance of medical even after legal adult use comes to the fray? And, you know, what's going to happen to your practice? And my answer is obvious because we've seen it already. If you don't work for your medical, you lose your medical. And, you know, we've seen that in other states. And to me, what makes medical is labeling and testing and being able to see your minor cannabinoids and your terpenes. Of course, maintaining your routes of delivery, you know, even up to suppositories, of course, you know. And then you have your job protections. And, you know, when I go into the hospital, I want to use a cannabis product. I don't want their fucking Percocet, right? State-by-state reciprocity. Interesting, guys, we have no taxes in Florida, right, on our medicine. So as I tell everybody, keep your medical card active because when it goes legal adult use, you want those benefits that I just mentioned, and we got to keep our taxes at zero. So, you know, we're forced into the system that we're in. Really excited about New York and what happened up there and getting the home grow option. once again, fairly limited, but at least it's there. I have four categories of patients in my clinic, Doobie 1 through 4, and it is a Doobie scale. I've actually trademarked Doobie 1s, Doobie 1s, never done's, Doobie 2s, used to do, Doobie 3s, set us free, Doobie 4s, give them more. And, you know, it ranges from the grandma who's never done it, and 33%
of them. I love 30, that.
33. I had to trademark it because I know once it gets out there, it's going to be utilized widely, because the most important thing in medical cannabis literally is knowing what the past cannabis history of the patient is. You can't treat Willie Nelson like grandma. And that's really one of the most important aspects of what's going on in medical cannabis these days. It's literally big pharma and conventional docs can't be provided the research that they want. They want things that we can't provide. They want singular molecule research on patients that are all coming in, that are all coming into the product. So it's the heterogeneous nature of the plant itself and the multifactorial nature of the patient coming into the medicine. So it's unique. I go all over the country trying to explain this, or at least pre-COVID.
That's what we
now
need.
Now I love forums like this because I know you guys understand that. Doctors, on the other hand, they only listen to other doctors. So that's why, as an American-trained conventional emergency medicine 33-year doc, now turning 65, I feel that I need to be out there in teaching and preaching what a 2021 doctor needs to be versus what a 1981 doctor is and was, because I was one. And I've seen the destruction of narcotics and alcohol and other substances, guns, depression, suicide. So to me, I want to be as front lines as I can because I need to be. So as you can tell, I have my elevator speech. I've given it many, many times, but that's my research speech. And this is what I say. Listen, pharma, take the cannabinoids, go research them. Find out what you find out, then let us know so we can breathe them back into our entourage product plants to a greater degree. When you find that THCV does this, and CBG does that, sure. Fantastic. They will, they will only add to the entourage nature of what I'm doing. But don't you fucking try to take away my plant, okay, and my full entourage product from my patients.
Very, I love it.
This is something we see and have big problems with in Norway as well. My name is Øystein, and I'm the founder of Nordic Herbzone. We are Norway's first cannabis brand and also medical cannabis. We started in 2019, and in 2020 we started with working with the doctors and pharmacies in the Netherlands to provide access for medical cannabis to Norwegian patients, something that is not existing in Norway at all. We now have over 300 patients. I think Mixed the Queue here did number 315 today. And exactly what you're saying with the doctors, they don't listen to anything else than other doctors. Yeah, that's a big problem in Norway with the education for the Norwegian doctors in what cannabinoids are, what they can do, and what, very, very, very
post-COVID. Post-COVID, my friend, I would love to come to Norway. It's one of my dream countries to visit. So I would love to come in and lay down some good education for the Norwegian doctors.
We should absolutely keep in contact and get in touch on that one. I think it would be a high value to also put you in contact with our doctors that we work with in the Netherlands that also have a patient group of, I think it's between 9 and 11,000 patients. They also have a lot of research that follows up with this one.
No, listen, it'd be an honor. So my daughter worked for Sativa, which is Ianthus in New York. So she worked in Brooklyn in the medical dispensary world. And now it's just starting with Vireo in New York.
Really?
So I know the New York program well. The New York program has been, of course, garbage. in many ways. Oh, the products compared to what we have down here in Florida. Listen, the best way to get me is my email is Dr. Barry, B-A-R-Y, at VeniceCare.com, which is my clinic. But if you catch me on Twitter, I'll get back to you for sure. Listen, my goal is to be out there as much as I can at this point. It's a critical time in cannabis, both legal adult use and medical cannabis. And you heard me, the things that I talked about with medical. Listen, legal adult use, everybody, we're going to have to fight this idiotic 10% potency battle, okay, state by state, even as it goes national, because Kevin Sabet and Sam and Drug Free America, they're not going away. What they've done is they've just changed the battlefield. They lost the legalization battle, okay? We put 6 feet of dirt on them already. They know that, right? So now they've had to change their battlefield, and now they're going to get into this, this 10%, THC cap, quote-unquote, battle. Concentrate limitations. They're trying to limit my pediatric practice here in Florida. I have 40 to 45 autistic kids in my practice. They won't allow me to give them THC unless they're terminal under this new law in Florida. So the good news is the law in Florida that they're trying to put through is not going to pass. The Senate is going to stop it, and we know this. Anybody that does follow me, they'll see I was in Tallahassee. They gave me 30 seconds, everybody. 30 seconds to speak in front of the House committee. I have organized a group here in Florida of doctors. We had 200 doctors sign the petition against this. So what I've been told, quite frankly, is that we have an unusual circumstance in Florida because of the organization that we do have down here, and we do. And I like to think that's because some of us learned from the lessons of other states that if you don't speak up as a group of doctors, then you don't protect your medical. So believe me, I want to go forward with legal adult use reforms for sure. In fact, I was actually the doctor in the Joe Redner Right to Grow Your Own cannabis case here in the state of Florida. It was 4 years ago. We won the case. The state appealed, and Dustin Sulak was actually the other doctor involved in the case. I was a brand new cannabis doctor there testifying along with the king of all cannabis doctors, Dr. Sulak. So it was kind of a different circumstance, but they needed a Florida doc. But the point is, we won the case. The Supreme Court wouldn't hear the case. So that's why I'm excited about New York. They did get some degree of a home grow option. I think home grow always will be the holy grail for medical cannabis. Those that want to grow most economically will be able to access it that way. Those that want specific strains, grown in specific ways, specific flushes. In Florida, it's not easy to do that. You almost have to be inside. It's a tough outside environment. But home grow is great. I told my daughter, who's a cannabis coach in New York as well, that now she's going to have to learn how to take care of plants and teach patients how to grow, because I think a huge new role of people getting into cannabis, and I know there's tons of people that do want to get into cannabis world, is to absolutely be able to teach medical patients how to grow.
Absolutely.
Right? And to be a coach, and to be a coach for them and assist them in that process. So, it's an exciting time for cannabis. And like I said, to live, through my life. Listen, I was a cannabis guy throughout my entire ER life. I can talk about it now, could never talk about it then. I always had drug testing in my contract for cause. Every day of the 33 years that I did emergency medicine. And, I'm sure there were other ER docs that did the exact same thing that I did after a long 12-hour shift. Who wants to go home and do 4 shots of whiskey in order to get your 6 hours of sleep before you go back to your next 12-hour shift, right?
I'm definitely going to stick with my 4 joints on that one, sir.
Well, no, I mean, no one should drive impaired. And I know I'm speaking to a group where I guess things can be admitted, obviously. But, a happy ER doc is the ER doc that has that beautiful joint waiting for him in his car after his 12-hour shift for his hour-long drive home. I lost friends in the ER world who died driving home after their night shift, 12-hour shift. It's the most dangerous time for an emergency. But, the point is, we had a rule in our ER group. No one's allowed to buy powdered sugar donuts on the way into work in the morning to the morning shift, because then you have a powder and then you have a trail of white powder down your scrubs. And the nurses call the director and says, "Oh my God, you got a drug problem in your group. You better call the whole group in and drug test them. If you're going to have 5 or 6 of your 12 doctors test positive for THC, they're your best and your happiest doctors, and then you're losing your entire ER group to the state and drug tested and all that bullshit. So it was one of our funny inside jokes. No powdered sugar on the way into work in the morning, everybody.
I will be remembering that one for sure. No powdered sugar donuts on the way to work in the morning, and I'm going to say that for everybody.
That's just the rule of thumb, bro.
That's the rule of thumb for me.
Guys, I have 35 years in the ER to give you so many jokes. I'll give you another one. You know the difference between alcohol and cannabis? You know what one of my phrases was in the ER? You never want to be known by first name basis only in your local ER, okay? Because you know who that is? That's the town drunk, okay? You know who he is. You know who they are, you know? So we had Andy and Ricky, and, you know, I was in a smaller town, Alliance, Ohio. And sometimes even by the ambulance call, okay, you could tell who they were bringing in because it was one of our first namers, right? They were always alcoholics.
We're going to take a quick second as well to bring in Mr. Sam here and say a wonderful good morning from the UK and give a little bit of insight and perspective, because I know that we're talking a lot about the medical cannabis side and also for home growing for medical cannabis patients, which is an absolute must that has to come around. And absolutely commend you on that one, Dr. Barry, for pushing forward in that movement and bringing more education to people. And just thank you so much for sharing. And we'll take it to Sam and see what we've got in the UK, because I know that Sam is also on the not touching the plant business side and doing some amazing things and showing people what is possible with traditional advertising.
Thank you. So I work in one of the biggest media owners in the UK. We own 60% of the commercial radio stations and about 36% of the outdoor advertising and things like buses and the London Transport, London Underground, Scottish Transport System. For the last couple of years, I've been trying to bring a bit of parity to CBD brands that were not allowed to advertise on our platform, on our vehicles, on our billboards. And so through a bit of formalizing an artwork approval process, I'm now getting CBD brands up on, you know, literally up in lights, up on the digital screens, on the underground, up on big billboards, up on the side of London buses. I've been a cannabis activist for 20 years or so. I've lobbied my MPs. I've spoke to deputy leaders of the Labour Party. I've sort of been involved in politics in various ways over the years as well. And so in this current job that I've been in the last few years, I've been able to sort of combine my sort of personal goals in terms of legalization and regulation of cannabis market, along with, you know, my sort of experience in advertising. For me, this is sort of almost sort of threefold. There's the CBD brands that are looking to grow their business, and I can obviously help with that in terms of just getting more people to search for your brand name and hit your website. There's the industrial hemp element, which I think is really interesting, and I think potentially is one of the biggest ways to open up this conversation to, you know, people that are not educated on cannabis at all, you know, the completely naive consumer that has still the kind of hangover from the 70s and 80s, or the 80s, I suppose, of you know, reefer madness. The industrial hemp, I think, can break down some of those barriers and talk about the benefits of growing a crop from everything from sort of carbon drawdown to just, you know, the industrial commercial uses for hemp plastics and hempcrete, things like that. So that's one thing that I'm sort of working on to try and grow the knowledge of. But then medical cannabis, I think the big opportunity really is to just make some big statements. Cannabis is medicine, get over it, essentially. Or kind of, you know, making some statements that cannabis has been available on prescription for 2.5 years, whatever it is now, since 2018, but there are only 4 patients that have been prescribed it in that time. I think some of those things would be quite enlightening to CBD brands about sort of clubbing together and running information campaigns that can reach bigger audiences. I suppose my sort of frustration sometimes is that I find myself talking to people like everyone in this room that understands the topic. But as soon as I speak to the majority of my colleagues, nobody has a clue. And it's just sort of greeted with, isn't that just a drug? And, you know, isn't that for stoners? And, you know, all the sort of the cliche stuff. So, my professional life is kind of, you know, helping brands to grow. I predominantly work with startup brands, and I've worked with a lot of the sort of startup CBD brands in the last year and a half, 2 years. But, you know, I'm always looking to help anyone that's trying to grow their business using traditional marketing and advertising, and I'm, you know, I'm mostly here in these sorts of rooms just to listen and learn, to be honest, to people like the doctor before me.
And he's joined us on his son's birthday. Thank you for giving us the time.
To be fair, it's actually his birthday tomorrow, so it's his birthday weekend, so we're just about to head out to the park, so I just thought I'd jump in and have a little listen.
No,
much appreciated, bro, much appreciated.
Really, thanks for coming in, Sam, as well. And just give a quick shout out as well for everyone in here where to find you and where to get in touch with you should they be looking for that.
Yeah, so, my link on here goes to my Instagram, which is more of a personal page, but you can find me on LinkedIn, Sam Berry, Berry. I work for Global, so my email is sam.berry@global.com. If anyone wants to talk about, growing their business using traditional advertising marketing, I can, happy to talk to anyone about anything, whether it's recommending things that I can do or things that I can recommend to other companies. I'm really keen I've spoke to a few people about putting together like a crowdfund sort of a thing to run a relatively small campaign. To give you an idea, the side of a bus is about £120 for a London bus for 2 weeks. So if we could raise, a few thousand pounds between a group of 30 or 40, 50 people even, we could buy a small bus campaign that would, run down this outside Parliament in London, great photo opportunity. And with the right sort of PR people behind it, we could amplify that message. That's the idea.
You've just planted the biggest seed I've ever planted in my life.
I'm all about planting seeds.
Penny has dropped. Let's have a group chat amongst us all.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Liam, ping, ping, ping. Wow.
No, really, thanks so much, Sam, and let's definitely keep in touch and contact on that. I know you definitely got our brain sticking and planted a seed there, because even this morning on our drive, we were counting the amount of billboards we saw down here in Spain on the coast. And it's absolutely mad how many there were. So in about a space of a 10 to 15 seconds that we were driving, maybe doing about 30, 40, we'd pass about 10 to 15 billboards. Maybe two of them had active advertisements on them. So this has been something that we've really it got our brains ticking. It got us thinking how many people are still considering traditional advertising and taking advantage of that in ways that people used to get creative with this. Because it doesn't mean that you have to put a big cannabis leaf up. It doesn't mean that you have to, show people weed. But you can do so much branding and so much advertising that is not directly related to cannabis to also get people's minds ticking and really get creative there. So thank you so much, Sam, for getting our minds going. We'll keep it on the cannabis side and say a wonderful good morning to Dawn. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm here in Chicago just waking up. Really miss being at NoCo. Just about a year ago today, I lost my daughter to a pulmonary embolism. So she has a underlying condition that really requires me to be careful and continue to be isolated so I don't put her life at risk. So I'm really, really missing being at NoCo this year with everybody. But she's a priority, so here we are.
Absolute condolences on that one. I mean, it's good to keep that going. And I know you're big on the industry side. We were talking the other day as well on what you've got going on with cannabis reform and human rights. And I just wanted to take a second to really applaud you on that one, and also give you the chance to share with everybody what you've got going on and the work that you're doing in this space.
Yeah, sure. My focus is definitely more on the industrial applications and the hemp side of the space. And my background is more agricultural and environments, but federal legalization of the hemp industry of hemp came through the cannabis reform movement. So I know a lot of people of the pioneers of the industry who really move that forward, and really on the basis of fighting for human rights and justice. So I'm in that regard working on the Hash Bash event, which will be a virtual event this year on April 3rd. The organizers of that event have been very instrumental in the legalization of cannabis, medicinal and adult use in the state of Michigan, and really are focusing more on the federal level now. So it'll be a digital national event with global reach. And it's based on the story of John Sinclair, who was arrested 50 years ago for two joints and sentenced to 10 years. And John Lennon came to Ann Arbor to hold an event in his benefit, and as a result, he was released several days later. John Sinclair also is the founder of the White Panthers movement, which was formed out of Detroit to come alongside the Black Panthers and support that movement. So he's spent his entire life with criminal justice reform and cannabis reform, and he'll be speaking at the event, as well as it will benefit. The event is free, and it's not a fundraiser, but any funds that are raised for sponsorships, any excess funds will go to the benefit of the John Sinclair Foundation, as well as the Michigan Cannabis Freedom Coalition, which is a new organization that's formed out of Michigan. It's a very powerful group, including Michigan Normal, Detroit, Motor City Normal, the Michigan Cannabis Caucus, and also the Redemption Foundation, which is Ryan Basor's organization. Ryan spent 2.5 years in prison, he was sentenced to 4 years when his dispensary was raided in Lansing, Michigan. And Mark Passerini, who's one of the organizers and has been for the last 10 years of the Hash Bash events, is the chairman of the board of his foundation, the Redemption Foundation, which was they raised a significant amount of funds in partnership with the Last Prisoner Project for the release of Michael Thompson, which is more of a national scale, which you might have heard of in the news. He was released just recently after serving 26 years for a nonviolent cannabis offense. So Michael Thompson will also be speaking at the event, as well as the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, and the attorney general, Dana Nessel. Also Al Harrington, who owns the first black-owned multinational cannabis operation. And Viola is the brand name, and they're very active in the social justice and criminal justice reform as well. So we also have some NBA all-stars, Darren McCarty. Sue Sicily will also be speaking, who I'm sure you're all aware of Sicily's research out of the University of Arizona. So it's going to be a really great lineup, really talking about cannabis reform and really trying to pull together that team, and really looking forward to what we're going to be able to do as far as inspiring new activists and helping the movement. So that's where we're at.
Big respect to you, Dawn, and to everybody involved in those projects and making that happen. I know it's something that a lot of people over in Europe still have a tough time with, and to see this push over in the States and what you guys are doing is absolutely amazing. If you could take another quick second just for everybody to remind the name, the date, how they can get more info, where they go, all that social info.
Sure. So it's Hash Bash, and it's on 4321, so it'll be next Saturday at high noon, which is noon Eastern Standard Time. You can find it on twitch.tv/A2HashBash. And I think that's all you needed, right, Liam? I hope you'll join. It's digital, absolutely. So global.
I just wanted to add that I've been to Hash Bash, I think, in 2008. It was one of my first experiences of a legal cannabis event where in the Monroe Street Fair, everybody was congregating and it was just good vibes. And I learned a lot about the movement back then. And I can't wait to be back in Ann Arbor and go maybe next year. You guys, if anybody has the opportunity, Hash Bash is amazing.
Yeah, big respect. Thank you so much as well. And I'm going to take a quick second and welcome in Sherry and say good morning, Sherry. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. We're having a lot of interesting discussion here. We started off with the Cannabis Maker Introduction podcast and getting it going on cannabis ideas in the space and how people can have their really get a bit of direction and guidance on where to go, the common problems that we're seeing, whether it be in the United States, in Southeast Indies, if it's in India, if it's in Nepal, if it's in the UK specifically, where I know David Dawn, who's doing the Hash Bash now in Michigan. And I just wanted to give you a chance as well to really tell people what you've got going on in the UK. I know you guys have a lot of exciting stuff, and kind of tell us a bit more about it.
guys. I'm Sherry, aka on Instagram known as Lady Buds of London. I'm sort of all over in the space, really, between the UK and Barcelona. My partner owns a cannabis social club in Barcelona, and I'm the events coordinator for the club. So basically, my role there would be to organize cups or any type of events, really. And over here in the UK, I've worked on some really great projects. I'm a board director of the UK Cannabis Social Clubs movement run by Greg DeHolt, who is in charge of one of the UK's largest outdoor free cannabis fairs, or two of them, in fact, one at Hyde Park, which is held on 420 every year, which won't be held this year, obviously, but he helps organize that. And Brighton Cannabis Club, alongside Brighton Cannabis Club, they organize Green Pride in Brighton, which is in June, I think, which also won't be happening this year, obviously. On top of that, I run an event or a movement called Get Your Rigs Out, which is a part of the Gadgets and Glass business I've started, which basically educates people on new age consumption methods and techniques, from vaporization to dabbing. I host a Zoom session every Monday with about 100 to 200 people sometimes, just going through all the glass blowers in the world, really, speaking to them about their stories and talking to collectors, because the world of functioning glass art is relatively new in Europe. I guess it's been around for the past 8 years, but really flourishing in the past 3 or 4. And that's a bit of a roundup from me, I suppose.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. That's definitely a lot of stuff going on. And it's I think it was cool that you just finished on the glass point as well. We've not had a lot of discussions, as far as I know so far, in this clubhouse space on the more artwork side of things that comes into the cannabis industry, the glass blowers. I know about, I think it was now two, three years ago, there was a glass blowing event in Amsterdam, and the stuff coming out of that was just amazing.
It was called Triple X Amsterdam, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I hosted that. I flew over to...
Well, there you go. Then I've been to one of them.
Yeah, it was great. I've been really fortunate, actually, to travel across Europe and meet the most amazing, talented glass blowers and growers and extractors. Cannabis extraction is probably my most passionate project. Also, I work with a company called Winchester MD, which has one of the largest organic farms in Europe, and they have various CBD brands that I'm an ambassador for, the Good CBD being one of them, EQL and the Sports Drive. So they have created quite a few products that are now available across Europe. I'm quite proud of that project. Over here in Europe, talking about THC is definitely grayscale, because there isn't anywhere legal to talk about that. It's all underground, really. Even like the clubs in Amsterdam and Spain that everyone talks about and that we own, definitely is in the grey area. We are only allowed to open and operate because of the Catalonian laws in Spain. Catalan is almost a private city in its own. Barcelona makes the most money in the whole of Spain. So its laws are independent, kind
of. Wow, so even like HQ, even HQ in Barcelona, they're not legal?
Yeah. Legitimate? Like, we need to define what legal means, right? So Catalan has its own set of private rules, which states and stipulates that you can consume whatever you want to consume in the privacy of your own home. So Catalonia, Barcelona, is quite stringent on the fact that people have personal rights and their liberties. And so that's how all the clubs run out in Barcelona. But it's definitely a great area, you know. The associations are only intended for residents of the country. And this is why so many clubs get shut down, because they're open to tourists. And obviously, having seen clubs being run out there, I totally understand, because tourism is where money is at. But the clubs aren't technically allowed to let tourists in. There's actually a lawyer in the room underneath me. I haven't practiced in years, so I'm not actually, I haven't practiced in like 3 or 4 years, so I'm not qualified to speak on this at all. But I was wondering if the unicorn had any information about this matter.
Yeah, I was just going to bring in Sarah as well and welcome her up to the stage and say good morning, Sarah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've got going on in the cannabis space, and then follow up with the questions.
Hi. Good morning, guys. My name is Sarah Stogner. I'm a lawyer. I've been, for the past 13 years, helping mostly oil and gas related entities and understanding contracting and litigating risk management, indemnities, stuff like that. Out of the green closet last year, started my own firm and informally helping now cannabis clients. They have a lot of similarities between the two industries that people don't often understand at first glance, including processing, distillation, things like that.
I'm already seeing people putting trademarks and patents and on words, like someone in the UK has copyrighted the word entourage and cancer, and it's like, wow.
And the word THC has been copyrighted.
Yeah, this is getting ridiculous. Wow.
Marwan copyrighted THC. Marwan,
I'll just add as well, I've only just been told this through Chinese whispers, but everybody knows the company called Canna, the growth solution company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my office is in the same forest park that they're based on, the head office in the United Kingdom. And I had a delivery of CBD oil turn up at their place, and one of my sites is called Simply Canna. And that guy's gone to the owner of that company, who's apparently consulted his lawyers, and he's now going to consider anyone that uses the word C-A-N-N-A in their name. They own the trademark to that word, but the word C-A-N-N-A represents a collection of flowers that are actually not linked to cannabis, but canna could also be classed as short for cannabis. So it's already starting now.
It is absolutely already starting now, Dave, and I think we can only say that now in the cannabis space, we have so many things to see and to expect. It is a wild west at the moment. And yeah, from everything we've heard today, there are a lot of different places the cannabis industry can go, whether it be hemp, medical cannabis, industrial hemp, recreational cannabis, the laws around it, and all the regulations that come with that. We've definitely had a wide variety of topics, and that's what the Cannabis Maker is all about, getting people educated and informed on really the vast majority of things going on in this cannabis space. So thank you to everybody for tuning in, for listening in, for coming in, for sharing your thoughts and opinions on today's episode. It has been the first episode as well, and we are extremely grateful to everybody for making this happen.
Really, really appreciate you all, and thanks for coming in. We will be trying to do this daily, and stay high, stay happy, and take care, everyone.